This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
God's been speaking to us recently through the prophetic word about doing a new thing. And most recently, Paul brought the scripture from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. This was two Sundays ago. And it says this: "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And we want to be a people that respond to the prophetic word that we hear. So we're going to look this morning at the new things of God. So it's rather apt that Matthew's asking me to do a new thing and speak to people over the age of 11. Okay. I really believe that the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us this morning, and the Holy Spirit wants to provoke us as well as we think about two things. And the first is, where is our attention, and is it on the new things that God is doing? And the second is, are we stepping into the new things that we see? And in this area, we're going to look at things that we might need to avoid that will hinder us from being able to step into the new things of God, and some things that may be required of us for stepping into the new things of God. Now, I've got some great Bible verses this morning. There's quite a few, so I've put them up on the slide, so don't worry about flicking through. We can read them through together on the screen, and they're all in the English Standard Version. Okay. I once heard a Christian preacher say, "To advance, we need to let go of that which has gone before, both our successes and our failures." I'll say that again. To advance, we need to let go of that which has gone before, both our successes and our failures. So in other words, if we as individuals and if we together as a church want to move forward into the new things that God has got for us, then we're going to need to let go of that which has gone before. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." And Leviticus 26, verse 10 says, "You shall clear out the old to make way for the new." So let's think for a minute about clearing out the old. Now, if you sit here this morning as a reasonable new Christian, then I want you to encourage you to check out 2 Corinthians 5:17, because this is a fantastic verse. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When you accepted Jesus as your Saviour, he took all your sin, all your shame, all your mistakes, all your worries, all your regrets. He took it all away, like baggage and luggage that was strapped and tied onto you. And he snipped it all off, dropped around your feet, and he picked it up. He said, "I'll have that." And he took it off to the cross to deal with it completely. It's all been taken away. And newness and freedom and forgiveness is ours. And this holds true for any time we mess up after we get saved as well. All we have to do is bring our mistake to Jesus, repent, which is saying sorry, but also turning around and turning away from that behaviour. And then the power of the cross is right there for us, afresh, ready to cut us off from our mistakes, which is fantastic, isn't it? But I want you to visualise something for a minute. I want you to imagine that I went through life carrying around a really heavy bag with me. I won't do some drama because that might be a mistake. But, you know, imagine I was carrying this really heavy bag that wasn't even there. You know, that's how foolish we are, to be honest. If we go through life thinking that we're carrying these mistakes and these sins around with us that Jesus has taken away, they're not there. You know, we are free as Christians and we are travelling light. And we need to know that we know that we know that we know that we are free and that we are travelling light if we want to run full pelt into the new things that God has got for us. Amen. Now, that's talking about letting go of the past in terms of our failures. But letting go of the past may also involve some kind of letting go of our successes. Now, you've probably met some people, not in this church, I might add, who managed to slip into conversation their CV of lifetime achievements. You'd be like, "Oh, well, I could read it too, you know," or, "Oh, sorry to interrupt, but yes, I have 57 GCSEs. You know, the people that like to tell you what they've done. Now, I'm sure in Christian terms we've all got our own role models that if we found out their heavenly CV, should we say, we would be blown away. You know, people that inspire us because they do massive things in the kingdom. They have massive victories with Jesus. And I suspect that what all these role models probably have in common is that they know how to move forward from past successes. They're people who step into something new and then immediately say, right, job done. What's the next thing? What new thing are you doing, God? Yeah. Because I want to step into it. I'm all in. Yeah. All of me is in. And we need to be like that too. We need to be a people who can easily just move forward from our past successes so that we can just be constantly moving forward into the new thing that God has set before us. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning, because life is a process and our past is part of shaping us. It's part of growing us into the people that God wants us to be. And it's always really important that we honour what's gone before and we build on what's gone before. But what I'm trying to encourage us this morning is just to think, are we constantly looking and moving forward into the new things of God? Only look into the past if there's something that we can grab and bring with us that's going to help us step into the new thing that God's got for us. Because God doesn't just want us to see the new thing that he's doing every few Sundays when a powerful prophetic word comes, and we kind of see it and then maybe we forget about it for a bit. He wants us to be looking to the new every single day. Chris said in his preach 2 weeks ago when he was talking about chasing our dreams, it's what we do with our everyday lives that counts. Yes. And in Exodus 16, this chapter, it's when the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness and they're gathering fresh manna from heaven. And in verse 4, it says they were to gather a day's portion every day. And God has got a portion of new things for us every single day. And we need to be waking up and saying, it's a new day, Lord. Yesterday is gone. What new thing do you have for me to step into today? Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. This is another great passage that tells us that God has got new things for us every single day. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Romans 6, verse 4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So it doesn't read, let's start in newness of life and then settle down and get a bit comfortable. It says, let's walk in newness of life. And that's a continual thing. That's every day. Bryn Jones said, all it takes to make sure nothing changes is to settle for things as they are. All it takes to make sure nothing changes is to settle for things as they are. Church, we need to be a people that determine every single day we're going to live in newness. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Great. So let's read through together some more verses that refer to God doing something new. Okay, Isaiah 43, verse 19 says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And Revelation 21, verse 5 says, behold, I make all things new. And in all of these three verses, and there's some others as well in the Bible, where it talks about new things, you also find this word, behold. And this means to see with attention. So it doesn't read, see, I'm doing a new thing. See, the former things have come to pass. See, I make all things new. It says, see with attention, I'm doing a new thing. See with attention that the former things have come to pass. See with attention, I make all things new. And God speaks to us in this way, telling us to see things with attention, because it is possible to see things without paying attention to them, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever read in a newspaper where a criminal has been seen by a, shall we say, slightly ineffective witness. The description usually goes something like this. It says, male, aged between 20 and 50, brown hair, average height, average build, wearing jeans. And you read it and you're like, I wonder how long it's going to take them to catch him. Okay. The witness sees the criminal, but they don't really see them. You know, you've heard the phrase, in one ear and out the other. It's kind of like in one eye and out of the other, isn't it? And we don't want to be like that when we see the new things of God. You know, we don't want to be those that see them and then we go away and we don't really have any idea of what it is that we've just seen. So I thought it would be helpful for us to have a role model when it comes to seeing with attention. And I've chosen Jason Bourne. Okay? Now, before you get upset that I'm suggesting we follow in the footsteps of an assassin, just stay with me, because I think there's some things that we can learn from Jason Bourne. Okay? He knows how to see things with attention. Now, if you've watched... If you've watched The Bourne Identity, the first film, you may remember there's this scene where Jason Bourne and Marie are sitting in a cafe shortly after fleeing from Paris. Now, if you haven't seen the film, Jason Bourne has amnesia at this point and he doesn't realise that he's an ex-assassin. And he says this. He says, I can tell you the license... I won't do the American accent. I can tell you the license plate numbers of all six cars outside. I can tell you that our waitress is left-handed and the guy sitting up at the counter weighs 215 pounds and knows how to handle himself. I know the best place to look for a gun is the cab of the grey truck outside, and at this altitude, I can run flat out for half a mile before my hands start shaking. Now, why would I know that? How can I know that and not know who I am? And in The Bourne Ultimatum, the third film, Jason Bourne looks at this transport timetable for like 10 seconds and then he does this elaborate getaway from the people at him and he like swaps trains and jumps onto another train and then jumps onto a bridge and jumps off onto a boat. You know, when Jason Bourne looks at something, the level of detail that he takes in is immense. And we need to be like that when we see the new things of God. We need to like take in all the detail. We need to be people that really see them. People who behold the new things that God is showing us. Now, it's fun to talk about abstract examples from films. Okay, and it's quite interesting to talk about the new things of God in a kind of general way, but let's pin it down a bit and make it specific. What actual new things do we see as individuals and as a church? Well, the Bible tells us that God will speak to us of the new things he's going to do before he does them. Isaiah 42, verse 9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. And Isaiah 48, verse 6 says, from this time forth, I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. So if God tells us what they are before he's going to do them, we should know some of the new things that he's got for us, shouldn't we? So I've written down a few of the new things that I see that God has for me and that God has for us as a body. Okay, I'll just read through them. I see that God wants me to step into a new level of confidence in what he speaks to me. I see myself bringing Jesus to new non-Christian mums in the city that I haven't met yet. And for us, I see us as a body stepping into a new level of leaking the Spirit as we're out in the world. God gave me a picture like water balloons that God just wants to prick all over. So wherever we go, we're just leaking him all the time. And he also gave me a picture of like a deep well. And God saying, here's a new rope and bucket pulley system. Now anyone can come and drink from you anytime. I see us breaking into operating in the prophetic out in the world in new ways, as well as operating in the prophetic within church meetings. And I see new levels of numerical growth for us to step into that we haven't seen before. Now, I could go on, but it's not just about what I see, because I'm one member. It's about what we see together as a church. So I want you to have a think for a minute, and I want you to think, can I think of something new that God wants me to step into as an individual, or can I think of something new that God wants us to step into as a church? And then if you can think of something either for you or for us as a church, just raise your hand. Thanks, Ruth. And then lots of you should be raising your hand right now. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit more minute because I reckon, because we've just read God speaks to us of these things, so that they're in you. You know what they are. Maybe you're having a little wrestle at the moment, or I don't know if that's me or God. I'm sure it's probably God. Okay, now I'm going to be slightly mean. So I'm going to ask Charles and Marie, and I'm going to ask Hazel. If you can come out and just share in one sentence that new thing that you see that's either for you as an individual or for us as a church. And you can't get mad at me because I've got to put it in for Open Home.
I see everybody in this church telling more and more stories about how they're telling people about Jesus at every opportunity.
Fantastic. Do you want to pass it down?
I see, similar to Charles, I see more and more of my friends coming to Jesus. So that would link to bringing stories about friends coming to Jesus.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you for doing that. What do you see, Hazel?
Mine's more personal.
That's great. Go for it.
Mine's being able to... being able to talk more about God, but not being afraid to.
Brilliant.
And doing it at work, which
fantastic.
Is
fantastic.
Going back into work and going back as a new person, not someone, because I've become a Christian while I've been on maternity leave. So doing that, basically.
Amazing. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yeah. I knew there was more of you out there.
As a church, I see us more outreaching with Haven and homeless. And I know I've shared things in the past with Matthew about where we can get alongside people and give them the needs that they need, the people out there, but also showing God's love and glory to them.
Brilliant. Thanks for doing that, guys. I was slightly mean picking on you. But, you know, it's exciting to talk together and think together about the new things that God has got for us to step into with him. Because life following Jesus is an adventure, isn't it? And as I'm preparing this, David said, God really laid you on my heart. People say he's got a new adventure for you. Amen. You'll make me cry. and God wants to speak to you about what that is. So I just encourage you, spend time together seeking him for the new adventure that he has for you in church. If you have the word of God for them, you know, bring that and submit them to that to them. Okay, so we've talked about some of these new things that we see, but how are we going to see them with attention? Well, if we're going to see them with attention, we may want to be doing some of the following. We may want to be praying into the new thing that God has said he's going to do. We may want to be asking him for more information, asking him what part we have to play, and asking him to show us the first step. And it may involve us sharing what we see with others in the body, just like we've done now. Chris was encouraging us, you know, to share our dreams with one another. And with all of these examples, these all involve our time. Okay, so it's going to involve our giving of our time to give our attention to the new things that God wants to do. About 18 months ago, there were three women in Manchester that Sepri saw that God wanted to do a new thing, reaching out to mums and tots. And they sat and shared the new thing that God was stirring in their heart, and then they shared it with other women in the church, and about 10 other women jumped on board. And they launched a toddler group last May, and they now reach out to over 100 mums and tots every week. And they've got too big for the building. And I just want to encourage you, this happened just because the women talked and they gave their time and they gave their attention to the new thing that God was stirring in their hearts. Okay, so we've talked about focusing on the new, and we talked about giving the new our attention. But I want us to think about now is actually stepping into the new things of God that we see. And I think for some people, a key reason that they don't step into the new things of God is because there's fear of the new. You know, they're saying, I don't like change. You know, it's well known. And when we're young, we can fear going to a new school. Or as it get we get older, it can be a bit of fear about starting a new job. You know, sometimes we can have a tendency to stick with what is familiar. But if we are going to be a people that step out into the new things of God, then we're going to need to banish and kick into touch that fear of the new and replace it with a right fear, the fear of God. Because the Bible is quite clear about where any fear in our lives should be directed and just how important it is to God that we fear him. There's lots of verses on this, but I've picked out just two examples. If we look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 10, this is God speaking to Moses. It says, "Gather the people to me, that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on earth, and they may teach their children so." And Hebrews 11, verse 7, says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household." Noah feared God more than he feared man, thinking he was a bit of a nincompoop because he was building an ark for a flood when it never rained before. Yeah, he feared God more than he feared doing something new. And we need to follow in Noah's example, and we need to do the same. And a big area that we may face this is as we step out in our evangelism. Okay, we're going to need to fear God more than we fear someone saying no to an invite. Yeah, right. We're going to need to fear God more than we fear people thinking we're weird or different. Yeah. We are. We need to fear God more than we fear someone not getting healed when we pray for them. And we need to fear God more than we fear rocking the status quo with a friend. You know, we just need to settle with ourselves. We are different. We are strange to the world. That people may reject our message and they may even reject us with it. But we have got a commission to fulfill. Now, Rupert and I have been watching a series on iPlayer called Daredevils. And we've watched several episodes. Now, this man at the top here, this man is called the Human Spider. Okay, and he climbs up skyscrapers without any climbing equipment and without any safety equipment. The man at the bottom on the right, oh, this guy, well, he just climbs to really high mountains, about 3,000 feet up, finds two rocks, ties a one-inch nylon rope between them, and then walks across. Now, you'll see here, he's actually got a leash that attaches his waist to the nylon rope, but that's just a practice run. He then takes that off and then walks across the one-inch nylon rope without anything holding him on. Oh, and the last guy, which is kind of a small picture, he jumps out of planes and then tries to get as close to the edge of jagged mountains as he can when he falls down. And generally, I sit at the TV going, "You're bonkers! You're absolutely bonkers! What are you doing?" But the last guy is called the Bear Man. I did think he was not all there, but then he said something that really stuck with me, and he said this: "If I fear something, I have this obsession with facing it." And I thought, huh, maybe we can learn something from you, Birdman. You know, church, we need to be daredevils for Jesus. We need to be those that face our earthly fears head on and conquer them so that we can step out in the fear of God and do the new thing that he's called us into. And doing this is going to require unwavering trust in God. It's going to require us trusting God, even if we don't see the complete picture of what he's asking us to step into. Because we've shared the verses about how God will tell us of the new thing that he's going to do, but he's not necessarily going to show us the whole complete picture. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive and as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." And sometimes for us, stepping into the new things of God might feel like the daredevil who stands on the edge of a cliff, like looking into nothing. And God's over our shoulder going, jump, jump, there's something new. And we're like, seriously, Lord, I see nothing. You know, what is there for me to step into? But Romans 4, verse 17 says, God creates new things out of nothing. And so it'll be that as we jump with unwavering trust, God will call new things into being and they'll appear below us. And I believe that God wants to teach us more what it is to jump daredevil style into the new things of God. We need to cast off those phrases that kill faith, like what if and but, and we need to employ phrases that will build up the daredevil within us, like we can do all things with God. But the good news is as well, is that we jump out in God. He's going to be there with us, encouraging us every single step of the way. If you look in Joshua, where he was about to lead the people into a new land, Joshua was instructed to be strong and courageous many, many times. You know, God knows us and he understands our need for encouragement, and he's going to give us that as we step out and jump out with him. Okay, the last point I want to make is that stepping into something new may cost us something. We have been focused on all things space at our house recently. We've been visiting the National Space Centre in Leicester. And as I was wandering around the Space Centre, I was just struck by how much is involved when NASA prepares to launch somewhere new and exciting. You know, there's the obvious huge financial cost. The astronauts spend years and years of dedicated training. I read this whole board about what it does physically to an astronaut when they go into space. It does all kinds of crazy stuff to their bodies, some of which is irreversible. You know, it costs them a lot to go somewhere new and exciting. And when we were coming back from the Space Centre, Noah was saying to us in the car, he's going, why don't we fly to the moon still? Why don't we still send astronauts to the moon? And Rupert said, because they've decided it costs too much. And we don't ever want to be those who decide the cost of going somewhere new and exciting with God is too great. Hebrews 11, verses 35 to 38, it recounts what it costs some of the heroes of the faith to follow Jesus where he was leading. It says this, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. A journey of newness with God will cost us. It will cost us everything. When the daredevils on the TV took on a new challenge, they risked their very lives. And so it'll be for us, that if we want to step into new things with God, then God wants us to lay down our lives, our whole lives, before him. Luke 14, verse 33 says, so therefore any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. But the real reality is that as we lay down everything, then we find the one, it says in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9, who has surpassing worth. Yeah. And it will be worth it, because every single new thing that God does is good. If we look right at the beginning of the Bible, at the very first new thing that God did, in Genesis 1:3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And in verse 4, it says, God saw that the light was good. When God is speaking something new into being, it's going to be good. Amen. It can't be anything else. Amen. So, let's fix our eyes on the new. Let's give it our attention. Let's face those worldly fears and then jump daredevil style into the new thing that God's got for us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening.